And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with the Unbalanced Note number 5 monumental episode. I'm Brian Kluger, Boomstick Comics.
I got it.
You did. You got the fly.
I knew it.
The fry.
I just crushed Jeff Goldblum.
You did.
I told you I was going to get it, dude. I told you.
With your pinky, it looks
I
like.
I did get it with my pinky. Sorry for the interruption, people.
Oh, no worries. No, this is good. It is a rainy Dallas, Texas afternoon on a Monday. I'm Brian Kluger, Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. This is the Unbalanced Note music podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please subscribe. Look up Multimedia Men, and that's where you will find us. You find all of our podcasts about wrestling and horror movies and media. Mediocrity. All of it's here, including this one, Unbalanced Note, with the, oh my goodness, this man is, you know, he's a cross between Ozzy Osbourne and Van Halen.
Which, wait, like Diamond Dave?
Yes.
I'll take that, dude.
Jacob Douglas, he's in the house today. We have tons of snacks out here.
too many snacks.
I found out last week when I had all these snacks out that Jacob, like, if there's like trail mix, which we have out on the table, he'll just only eat like one thing out of all of the trail mix, which is in this case the M&Ms. How did that start?
Just a weird habit, I guess. I just start on one and they've all got to go. And today I've chose the same thing. I'm going to go after the M&Ms again.
There you go.
Which M&Ms. I asked you to not put here, and here they are.
Do you swallow M&Ms whole?
That's why would you do that? You're wasting it that way. That's like chugging really good scotch, right? Like shooting it.
Yeah, that's
You know,
true.
You just sip on it. Like if you just swallowed the... What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I saw it in Super Troopers 2. Rod Farva just swallows M&Ms whole.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not out, is it?
It is out.
Fuck, I need to watch that then.
We need to watch
it. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I love the first one.
Okay, you'll love the second one. So, interestingly enough, tonight, Jacob and I will be attending Jeff Lynne's ELO concert.
Epic symphonic rock show.
Correct. We are very excited. And then perhaps we'll do a special double bonus secret probation podcast later this week. Where we will be talking about the ELO concert, amongst other things. Because
If we make it.
We don't... Well, who's the opening band?
Dawes.
D-A-Z?
D-A-W-E-Z. Or E-S. E-Z. What the hell is wrong? See what you did.
I feel like Jacob is strapped in with the test taking right now, because...
I'm just looking at the... I'm like, where are the brown M&Ms? You said I'm Diamond Dave, dude. David Lee Roth. I said no brown M&Ms.
Well, shit. That is actually a true story, because they wanted to make sure all of these stagehands read their actual set.
Well, not stage, more like managers.
Managers,
backstage people.
Yeah, read their list, because they had such an impressive stage. They don't want to die with somebody not fucking something up.
So. Yeah, their writer.
Yes. So, yeah.
Cocaine. No brown M&Ms, but we need all the glow.
Yes. That's
and naked chicks.
Well.
Who doesn't like that? I'm still trying to figure out, like, people that are confused by, like, which naked body would you rather look at? Like, who wants to look at, like, penis and balls, right? They're just hanging down. Even looking at your own, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, they look weird, right? But you look at, like, boobs or, like, a, you know, naked chick, it's pleasant.
Well, I think women in general are probably more
better.
Pleasant to look at.
Yeah, they're better, too.
They are.
At everything.
Yes, I agree. Well, mostly.
Go on. You could crash at my house tonight, dude. Well, Spare's not here. Well, you're okay. This is recorded, though. Not when a... What are they saying, like, run, Ronnie, run? Can't you just use some of your Hollywood magic and edit that
one out.
Where the blade jumps out of the blender and into her heart.
It's a really British accent.
I'm a horrible British accent.
We have a really fun.
Are these
show
Michael?
For you today.
Are these Michael Jackson sunglasses? MJ Sport,
where?
Right here. MJ Sport.
No, Maui Jims.
Oh, what the
Hawaii.
Fuck? You should tell people in that's Michael
I
Jordan.
Should. I never thought about that.
Or Michael Jackson glasses.
Well, I need
wear
the
these and you turn into a pedophile.
What are you talking about? That never happened.
Okay, whatever you
and
say.
They would
that.
Be aviators, not those Maui Jims.
These look pretty bitchin', dude. Are these yours?
Yeah.
Man, those are great. How were they? Like this?
Yeah, wherever.
You okay. Well, way. They look expensive.
Well, thank you. They are, I guess. Maui gyms are expensive.
Yeah. As soon as I picked them up, I was like, I can't. This is too nice for me. And you still got that cock plant out there.
Yeah, the two cock plants, actually.
Oh, shit.
No, one cock plant, a bunch of pods.
Cockatoo. You got one to shove it in.
Yeah, it's spiky. Yeah. That plant's been around for like 8 years.
Well, who would fuck with that thing?
Nothing. Yeah. Nobody.
It's nothing? Good stuff. Who nothing. Would fuck with that? Nothing.
We're on a roll, folks. This is going well.
We should spray some of this off on ourselves. Right? So let's get this party started, dude.
Oh, we're going to spray some off and some suntan lotion just to see what happens.
We'll put Tide Pods in our ears.
Yeah.
ELO concert, here we come.
Yeah, we don't want to listen to you. But we do. But our main event today is going to be the fantastic band that really paved the way for a generation, Black Sabbath. Always a good day for some Sabbath.
Yeah, especially on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath, yes. And our one-hit wonder we'll get to a little later. But first, a little bit of news. We're going to talk about first. Jacob, Thom Yorke announces U.S. tour featuring live electronic performances with Nigel Godrich and Tariq Berry. Nigel has been known to be part of the music scene in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. And of course, Thom Yorke, part of Radiohead, announcing his tour, which is going to start in Pennsylvania in mid-November, right before Thanksgiving, and go all over the place until he winds up in Las Vegas, Nevada. Unfortunately, he's not coming to Dallas, Texas.
Oh,
anywhere in Texas.
Boo-hoo.
It's basically nowhere in the South. So it's kind of like a northern tour, but
he don't like those southern hillbillies, dude. He ain't into fucking dealing with gun-toting conservatives.
Which is weird, but what do you think? Are you a fan of Thom Yorke?
I am not a fan of Thom Yorke.
So are you a fan of Radiohead?
Not a fan of Radiohead.
Do you like Thom Yorke scoring movies?
I like Thom Yorke on mute.
Okay.
He did that, like he has a band with Nigel and Flea called Atoms for Peace.
Okay.
And that is good. But Radiohead is, I've never really kind of got on the, you know, I've never drank the Kool-Aid with them. Like, okay. I don't really kind of get what's really so great about them. Like, it just sounds like the same.
Well, how would you describe a band like Radiohead?
Elevator music.
So you think they're like easy listening rock?
Well, like what music category would I put them in? Oh, like probably, you know, like experimental.
Okay.
Like some sort of fucking, because they ain't a rock band. But they're, I don't know, man. Like, they're kind of fucking, they came out at a time, like, when Pablo Honey came out, right? That was, like, all guitars on that album. They weren't fucking with computers and electronics and stuff. Like, that. They were, you know, three guitar players, I think, in that band.
I think the Benz is kind of the same way.
Yeah, that's what the Benz, I think, is really started to get into a little more of, like, the digital side of things.
Well, OK Computer, even the name, is very digitized.
At that point, dude, they're not a band. You know, that's like a space bar, Control, Z. You know, it's the human element of it is gone from, like, OK Computer.
But I must tell you, I saw them in concert, and they have an excellent set, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them twice. And I just, his voice, man, like, I can't do it. That kind of whiny, like.
Okay. It's kind of like John Mayer we were watching earlier.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, I like Johnny Greenwood, you know, the guitar player in that band, but Radiohead is just a band. Doesn't really do anything for me. I don't really get it. I mean, I get it, but it's just.
It's funny that you said that because the tour will consist of a live electronic performance featuring Nigel Godrich, which a live electronic performance, that must mean basically digital DJ.
Right? Yeah, fucking. It's like people that say, like, oh, yeah, I'm a DJ, and they just show up and, like, use iTunes or, like, Spotify.
Yeah.
You know, like, playlist. You're not a fucking DJ, dude. You're just, like, making a playlist.
So Thom Yorke, the tour is called Tomorrow's Modern Boxes U.S. Tour.
Yeah, that's an album he has.
Okay, is it good?
You think I listen to that?
Our dog does not like.
She don't like Radiohead
she
either.
She don't like Radiohead either.
Fuck that googly eyed Brit.
Hey. Hey, come here. Come over here,
Buck Dog. Who's here? Somebody must be at the door.
I don't know, man. I don't think so. No one knocked, but
yeah, I don't know. Bug Dog, you okay?
You have a peephole?
No. I have the blinds.
I'll go look.
Okay. Jacob's going to look because the dog just went crazy. But it might be somebody cleaning because I know that we're doing that here today, too.
You crazy. There's nobody. Get over here. Hey, come here.
Bug dog's a good dog.
False alarm, dude. I thought it was like a group of strippers or something. The, hey, you guys going to the ELO show, huh?
The Russians are coming to
us. Yeah. Oh, man, I would love some Russians to come over. All Russians right. don't really take any shit, right? Like, no, I wonder if Tom York's playing in Russia. I doubt they have him.
He had a European tour, but it's nowhere in Russia yet. But it's going to span all of Tom York's solo stuff, and according to the press release, Oliver Coates, the cellist, has been announced to as the supporting act to Tom York.
So. Snooze fest, dude. That's like going to fucking, you know, watching bad, like, Philharmonic band or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Do, do, do.
Yeah, like, but it's all electronics. Like, hey, there's an orchestra up here, but it's all off that laptop.
Yeah, it's unfun. It's
unlike tonight, we'll actually see a real orchestra.
Very excited about this.
Yeah, I think he has like a 20-piece orchestra. But yeah, Tom York, dude.
So do you think Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra will ever
no.
get together and do something for Christmas?
No way.
Why not?
Has ELO ever done a Christmas song?
No.
There you go.
There you go.
Christmas music sucks. You know, like, unless it's just bad. Like, you know, who wants to hear good Christmas songs?
I guess, like, part of me does because I love Christmas music. And I love, like, even, like, during the holiday time, if it's really cold out and you're looking at Christmas lights, I like to hear Christmas music. Like, even, like, by, like, Elvis Christmas or Lemmy Christmas.
What if Tom York did a Christmas album?
Probably not.
It's already Christmas already sucks enough. You don't need to have him ruin it further.
He should make a Hanukkah album.
Why?
Why not?
Well, touche.
All right.
Well played, my friend.
Moving on. Aretha Franklin reportedly gravely ill and surrounded by her entire family right now. I guess she retired last year, but according to several outlets, it looks like she's very sick and family's all around her. So we might be losing her at some point soon. She's 76 years old. Aretha Franklin, damn good voice, damn good music in my opinion. And I love her in Blues Brothers. Anything to add?
Dude, yeah, she never did anything bad.
Okay.
Like, that's one of those kind of people where you're never going to have another one of her. You know, same with, like, Tina Turner, right?
Right.
Just that raw energy that, man, watching those old, you know, live videos of Aretha, like, you know, in the late 60s and, like, early 70s and shit.
Yeah.
Imagine her, like, with a rock band. Like, doing rock music.
Dude, she would have that voice to just, to like, go to that, like,
her, yeah.
like, Axl Rose, like, belting out something.
Yeah, or, you know, imagine if Aretha Franklin would have sang, like, Back in Black.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, she kind of, I wish she would have kind of ventured out more of than, like, the, just the soul R&B stuff. You know, and she did she do, probably, like, in the early 70s, she did, Duane Allman played on one of her records.
Awesome.
And, she kind of does a little more, you know, upbeat kind of rock stuff, but it would, man, fucking incredible voice, man. Like Aretha Franklin, dude.
That'd be badass.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
She probably did a Christmas album.
But 76 years old.
How much is she worth? Like her net worth.
Her net worth?
Yeah. Because I don't think she ever wrote any songs. She just performed them. To the fucking max.
I'm trying to look.
You think Aretha Franklin like ever half-assed anything?
According to therichest.com, which I guess is a celebrity website and all sorts of other things that calculates people's net worth, it looks like over 60 million.
Good for her.
So there you go.
There's probably she's
estimated.
Probably, well. Their guess is better than mine.
Yeah.
I'd say give her a billion. Give her some of that Jeff Bezos money. Bezos. What's his name?
Jeff Bezos.
That guy owns everybody now.
Amazon and his space program. Yeah. Another site says 60 million too. So.
All right.
That's a good chunk of change for singing some songs.
Did you ever get to see Aretha Franklin?
No, I never did.
I didn't either.
That would have been cool though.
Oh, yeah, man. Fucking freight train right there, dude. Like, that's a voice that'll just flatten you, you know what I mean?
Yes. An interesting bit of news. Toto releases a cover of Weezer's Hash Pipe.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing that, dude. So, like, Weezer covered Africa. The Toto song Africa?
Yeah.
They covered it in concert, then they released it. So then Toto started doing a Weezer, you know, they did Hash Pipe.
Right.
That song sucks. I mean, they could have picked, like...
something good?
Yeah, like, My Name is Jonas. Right? Or, like, something off Pinkerton. You know, not fucking Hash Pipe. Like, of all the Weezer songs, like, and Weezer kind of is, you know, the first... they're weird. You know, they get real poppy and they are what they are. But those first two Weezer records are great, man. Pinkerton and the Blue Album, those are fucking amazing.
Yeah. I'm just glad Toto's still around because they're definitely good musicians.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they were all from like, who they play with? Like Santana, I think, or like Weather Report?
Well, isn't the guitar player from Toto like one of the best studio musicians?
Yeah, Steve Lukather. Yeah. He played. There was a rumor for years that, he did a lot of the overdubs on Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, shit. Which, yeah, I think he's played on Michael Jackson stuff, too.
Oh, probably. I mean, he was kind of the dude who, like, he played on the guitar on songs that you wouldn't really even actually necessarily hear the guitar. They weren't, like, guitar-driven songs.
Yeah.
But he played just the, yeah, he's, like, perfect studio guy. Like, but Toto, they have their fucking niche, dude. Like, kind of like Skid Row, right? Like, we're these fucking, like, street gutter kids, and we just know how to play this one kind of music, so that's what we're going to do.
We'll see.
There wasn't a huge fucking variation in Toto's sound, dude. That was, like, people coasting in the right lane, going 5 miles under the speed limit. You know, like, those people aren't, they're not, you know, rocking and rolling. They're fucking coasting down the road, you know. They're not in a hurry.
No, that's true.
Like, do you think Toto has some high energy rock songs?
No, but when other songs came on, like Rosanna or Africa, Pass Some Rains, I would imagine that people really belt it out. They're just not, it's not fast rock like you're driving like 90 miles an hour down the, like you said.
Some people might get jacked up though when they hear Africa, right? That song comes on.
I've been to live ska shows years ago and they cover Africa.
Yeah.
And it's a great song. Yeah.
I mean, tell me what's wrong with that song.
Nothing's wrong with that song.
It's a fucking, that's how you do it.
It is how you do it. But yes, if you're a big fan of Weezer and Toto, they're covering each other's stuff. Maybe they'll make an album where it's like, Toto plays Weezer, Weezer plays Toto. Who knows?
I hope not. You know, an album's worth of that?
You never know.
Mm. They should just play together and create one mega band.
One mega band.
Right? Like, what could it be called? Tozer.
Tozer? King of Tozer.
Or Weeto.
Weeto.
Right?
I like both names.
They're great.
Okay, more news in tech world that's going to piss Jacob off.
Elon Musk.
Spotify testing unlimited ad skipping in free tier.
Here we go, dude.
The new active media feature would deliver a more personalized experience in the streaming service ads.
What does that even mean? Like, that is the most... that doesn't even make sense.
Spotify is testing a new feature called Active Media in its free tier, in which users are able to skip as many audio and video ads as they like.
See,
the feature is currently only available in Australia, though.
Shouldn't be free. Like, music shouldn't fucking... I mean, goddamn. Like, that's the thing. Like, Napster kind of started it, right? Like, they inadvertently... or on purpose, took the value like out of the product by giving it away. You know what I mean?
Well,
like they
with Napster. Well, I you know with Napster, we all know that story. But when you're in college and you're like, yes, you want to spend your money because you don't have anything really else to pay for. I mean, unless you're paying your own way in college, but I would imagine a bulk of people aren't. And you kind of like, you know, that was at the time when the internet was getting popular.
It was a trend, dude. Like,
you can share music and you can upload music for free. So you can, but, you know, I would imagine Jacob and I and a few of my friends are definitely rare cases because I always wanted to buy a physical copy of everything. I still have physical copies of everything.
Yeah.
CDs, records,
that's normal. DVDs. That's normal behavior.
Right.
Like the MP3 was a trend that happened, right? Because it was on this new product or this new thing called the internet, right?
Right.
Then it's like, hey, well, you can get that thing to hear by doing nothing. Like you just click the button and boom, there it is, right?
And it was always shitty quality. It wasn't like a
quality. I mean, just for what it is, like you're taking the value out of it by when you give it away, like you've bastardized it. You know what I mean? Like you've stripped it of everything that the work that went into it.
Well,
and it also created like a platform for like no talent ass clowns to become successful, because if you're basing it only off streams and you're giving it away to like people that are quote unquote listening to it, you're just kind of cycling money like amongst that tight knit group of people that are in that circle, right? So like last week it said Spotify made $34 billion, but only 12% of it went to the people who actually created it, right? Yes. So that other fucking huge percent that's out there, right? What is that? 88%?
Right.
That's just money. It's like a fucking vortex, right?
It goes
right,
to these
dude?
Companies. It goes to the business part of it, which hopefully they're trying to fix, because more and more artists, again, we've talked about this before, are releasing their stuff on the indie side of things through their own stuff because they want to make their money back, you know, or at least make money like they used to.
They want the people that are in it for the right reasons to make the money. You know, right. That's why like labels like Sub Pop, right? Like out of Seattle. You know, like Nirvana was on and like the Melvins. That's who distributes Radiohead.
Right.
Right? Like Radiohead's on Columbia, but like their distribution is through like Sub Pop or Matador Records. One of the two. I think it's Matador. But that's an independent, like small, this started as a small mom and pop thing, and then you know, in the 90s, major labels went around and were like buying half shares of like independent labels, because that's where the money was. Like, right, grunge happened, so then it was like, we got to go out of all these garages in these suburbs and try to find these bands, because this is the new fad, right? And that was right when the fucking internet was taking off, right? 93, 94. So people were hearing that fucking dial-up AOL thing.
Yep.
Then you start downloading shit, you're gone for the day, come back, and then you got one song ready to rock, right? Like, you just, I don't know, man. I'm not a fan of any of that MP3 sharing stuff. And you're a movie fan, so you probably the same way. Like,
well, so I do not listen to Spotify. I don't listen to Shazam or any Pandora. I have an iTunes account because I like having, I mean, I have CDs in my car. Like, I have the Michael Jackson CDs all the way to the Bloodsport soundtrack and Insane Clown Posse CDs in the car. But I also like having the option of having an MP3, my iPod, my old school iPod that holds 160 gigs that you can, you know, listen to that. I love that aspect of it, but I always pay for it. You know, no matter if I'm paying 20 cents a song or $1.30 a song, I'm always paying for it. I'm never getting it for free. But movie wise, you know, wireless and Apple TV have come a long way with 4K content, and I've reviewed a bunch of that, but always the physical copy is always going to be your best bet to hear it the best and support whoever you want to.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I'm always analog. I'm always...
Yeah, well, if you're paying for something, like, you want to have something to hold.
Right, and you know what?
So okay, check this out. What if they made, like, songs... You buy them one time. So if you want to hear like Black Sabbath, Sweet Leaf, you pay 50 cents for it, right?
Right.
And then you download it. Then you have it in your, it's in your fucking Rolodex for good, right?
Right.
So anytime you want to hear it, bam, you just access it. Right. You should only be able to play it off of that, and it's a one-time purchase. If they did that every time, and you'd be able to pay the artist the correct way. Because like Peter Frampton, I think, in that same article you were talking about last week, he said that in 1 month he had like 14 million streams of Show Me the Way,
uh-huh,
or something like that. And he got a check for like $18.
which is crazy.
Right. Off streams, though, something that no one's even paying for. Right. So if you did the, hey, this 50 cents one time, if you lose it, tough shit, you got to buy it again. That's how it works. Like if someone broke into your house and stole your fucking record collection, oh, well, got to start over. You shouldn't get to just stream it endlessly like that. You rebuy it and you do it all over again.
See, that's what I'm always curious, because let's say you're going on Spotify and you're paying 10, 12 bucks a month for it. Do just artists get a monthly check?
No, because it... If it would have to go to everyone, like right. Not everybody's getting checks from Spotify.
No.
Like, and probably artists that you would think should be like a David Crosby type character, right? He got like an $8 check from Spotify one time.
And you're just kind of like,
if David Crosby's getting an $8 check from Spotify, I would owe them money somehow.
Well, how much? Well, so it's kind of like radio in a way. You're being played on the radio. It's
yeah,
like
but
digital radio.
Radio is kind of it's relative to when you say radio, though. Like you like radio where the DJs actually get to pick their music, or radio where there's a format and you play what's on this sheet. Because so, there's a huge difference between.
Yes, because there's that, but with Spotify, it's up to the user. They can just type in something.
Not really, though, because now Spotify, like, they fucking banned R. Kelly, right? Like, it's not a. They're kind of like a publishing thing now. Like, they can pick and choose who they want on there. Like, you can listen to podcasts on Spotify, and they yanked fucking crazy nut job Alex Jones's shit off there, right?
Correct.
So you can't really go listen to everything on there.
Well, because it's, well, I mean...
Some artists don't do it.
I don't get the R. Kelly thing, because you can separate him from music and stuff.
Nah, he's got to go. I mean, his music's not even good.
People like his music. Dude, I'm not saying we do.
People also fucking, you know... Liked Hanson.
I love Hanson.
God, you don't mean
Bob,
that.
Holy shit, they're good
that,
musicians.
Dude. Okay.
We're going to get into this at some point.
We are not. We're over.
It's
done, dude.
This podcast is over.
No, not that. I mean, that topic. Hanson is good. You've lost your fucking mind, dude.
I'm going to convince you of that.
You're not ever going to convince me. I don't even drink anymore. There's no possible way you can convince me that.
All right.
I eat this whole bag of gummy bears and still, nope. Hanson ain't happening.
Dude, musician-wise, song-wise, that good
group. One of them did do a band with Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
James Iha from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember who the bass player was, but it was called Tinted Windows.
Uh-huh.
It was really, that is actually a really good album.
So you do like them?
No, I don't.
Admitted that he fucking liked.
That's them. I said one of them did a he band just, with no, I'm a just, cheap.
I liked it too.
I'm a cheap trick just fan, saying. And Bunny Carlos was the drummer.
Taylor Hanson, James Iha, Adam Schlesinger, and Bunny Carlos.
What band is that? Adam Schlesinger from Jane's Addiction.
Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, Fountains of Wayne. There you go. Stacy's
mom.
Stacy's sister. I like saying shit like purposely wrong.
And they only had one album, self-titled, but yes.
That's good, dude. You ought to listen to that sometime. That is actually a really good, like, power pop album.
And Taylor Hanson was the middle brother out of them, but I'm just saying.
When there's the three kids, the middle one's usually always the coolest one.
I'm saying they're a damn good band, and they're still out, but we're
I thought they were. I thought they were chicks.
Well, when they first
talked especially
out,
that little yeah. one on the drums.
Everybody thought so.
My mom loved that song, dude.
It's and, good.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, I mean.
It's good. They've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 albums. Well, we're not talking about.
Hey, you know what? They have a Christmas album.
There you go.
Look.
Perfect.
Look it up, dude. You think I'm fucking with you?
Hanson. Oh, my goodness.
Check out the cover, dude. I can see it in my head. I know exactly what it looks like because I saw it at work the other day.
They have two Christmas albums. Oh. One's called Snowed In from 1997, and another one which came out last year called Finally It's Christmas.
Yeah, Finally It's Christmas again.
Snowed In, which is a very 90s cover, which looked like just like their regular album. And Finally It's Christmas. It's just them sitting down, you know, it's whatever.
They really dropped the ball on the name of the second one because they should have called it
Finally.
Finally, It's Christmas Again because that's their second Christmas album. That would have been their. They should have had me on the marketing
but
side of
it. But Snowed In came out with in their first album, Middle
yeah.
of November,
oh, yeah, dude,
which was the Mbop song. got so popular.
What other great songs were on that album? That's a fucking...
Thinking of You, Weird, Where's the Love, I Will Come to You.
You don't know any of those songs.
I don't.
Well, okay, when I ask what other songs are on there, you don't just
But those are the single ones.
God, you don't name... You just rattle... You don't read this fucking track title, dude.
It's so good. But they wrote their own songs, man.
No, they fucking didn't. You have lost your mind.
You have lost your mind, sir. You just don't want to believe that Anthony.
No, even if they did, that would make more sense. Because I'm like, well, yeah, I can look at them and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Those three girls did write that song. But right, you could do that.
That song
is... Oh, fuck. Right? They just shit. Say, oh, shit.
And it worked. It was number one for weeks. Yeah, weeks.
That doesn't... Number one doesn't always mean great. Like, sometimes being the best isn't the best.
I'm not saying it was the best. I'm just saying it's good. They're a good band. You know,
if it was number one, that means it was the best.
Out of ever... Like...
For a time period.
For boy band. Like, nobody touches Boys to Men, really, because they're so incredibly talented, but...
You would say Boys to Men are more talented than your fucking boy, MJ, the Jackson 5?
Okay, so modern day Jackson 5.
No, boy band is, you could say, the fucking Beatles.
Exactly. Okay, well, stereotypical, like NSYNC, 98 Degrees, Backstreet Boys. If Hanson's considered some of that, they actually play instruments. They're doing their own music. They're singing. They're doing well.
They're like the pop version of that band Silverchair. Right?
Silverchair.
They're like this. They had that album Frog Stomp. They were from Australia. Yes. There were three. I think they were all brothers also.
Silverchair had a song in the movie Cable Guy. Remember that?
Yeah. And I think they also had a song in that movie Angus.
Angus.
Right? Remember that one? The big old fat kid and that skinny nerd red-haired kid.
Oh, my God.
The Shermanator.
The Shermanator, yes.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my God, Silverchair! Now
that's a fucking great album, dude. Frog Stomp, like, and that Jellyfish album we were listening to in the car.
Very good.
Fucking people are always, oh, there ain't no good bands from the 90s.
Not true.
You didn't hear them on the fucking radio. But
Jacob says Hanson is one of the good bands from the 90s.
No, they were the problem. Like, they should have said fuck the label. They should have done Gigi Allen covers. Like, if Hanson did an album of Gigi Allen songs, then I would go, cool. Those guys get it. Fuck the label. But they fucking brown lipstick in the corporate suite right there, dude.
Can you find Gigi Allen on vinyl?
Yeah, I have a couple of them. They actually, at the Half Brothers at Half Price Books yesterday, they have a Live in Dallas Gigi Allen CD there.
Really?
Yeah. But I bought an album there a couple of weeks ago from this group called the Cedar Street Sluts.
Okay.
And they're an all-girl punk band.
Yeah.
And they did, like, Gigi Allen produced their records. That's bad, dude. It's like some of the worst music I've ever heard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't picture Gigi Allen producing anything.
No, you can. It is exactly what you'd think it would be. His dog shit, dude.
Ugh.
But they have great song titles, too. Like, these, like, the girls in that band. I mean, they're all, like, shoving him. Like, one song, I think, is called...
What are they called?
The Cedar Street Sluts. And it's weird because, like, on the back cover, I'm like, man, you can't really tell if they're hot or not because there's, like, it's this really bad, grainy... black and white photo, but then when you see, well, Gigi Allen was hanging out with them, you're like, nah, they ain't hot.
There it is. Gigi Allen and the Cedar Street Sluts. The sleaziest, loosest sluts.
Yeah, they were fucking... I mean, it's in the name, dude. Like, so all of their song titles are like, cram it in my ass and, you know, shit like that. I
want to suck your cunt. Tough fucking shit. Blood for you. Sluts in the city and bad habits.
Yeah, dude. There you go. I mean, that's rock and roll.
It's rock and roll. There you go.
Some Rolling Stones shit, right?
Yeah, well, if Gigi Allen's part of it, there you go.
Producer. Oh. Like, Gigi Allen, executive producer. Think about that.
Okay, moving on. Method Man. You a fan of Method Man?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Method Man has announced a new album called The Meth Lab 2, The Lithium, later this year. There's a couple tracks. One's called Grand Prix, which is out. You can listen to it right now.
Grand Prix
is a sequel to The Meth Lab, which came out a few years ago in 2015. Yeah, Method Man, 3 years down the line, got The Meth Lab 2. I'm a fan of Method Man. I like his movie, too, How High.
Yeah, Method, dude, everyone in Wu-Tang Clan rules, man. Method Man is probably like my second favorite in Wu-Tang Clan.
Is it RZA?
I like Ghostface Killer.
Ghostface Killer.
He's great, man. Ghostface Killer's the shit. I'll listen to that Method Man.
No, it should be good.
Yeah, well, I bet it's got a lot of those guys on it.
I would imagine as well.
Wu-Tang always had like the best beats.
So he does. He's actually really
All the Wu-Tang albums, all their solo records, like they all have a really great. They're analog. Like they don't do a lot of digital stuff.
It would be a great double bill to see like the Roots and Wu-Tang. Like, just those musicians, so both those guys, both those bands are fantastic. Even though Roots went a different route, but they're making their money and they're still doing
it. Sold out, dude.
Hey.
Corporate.
Good for them.
Brown lipstick in the corporate suite.
Oh, Zappa would be rolling.
Actually, I probably shouldn't say that about the Roots, huh? People take that the wrong way.
True.
Oh, how dare he.
Now, I have the last bit of news is the funniest and the bizarre.
Oh,
Glenn Danzig plots feature film. He is writing, directing, and composing the music for a movie based on characters from his Verotic comic book.
Oh, Jesus.
Glenn Danzig signed feature film agreement with Cleopatra Entertainment. He's going to do everything for this movie. It's based on his comic book series. Oh, my God. It's going to be an anthology movie. Jesus Christ.
Why? Why would you... No one... Oh, my gosh, man. What do you say to this? You know, like, let's see here. For all you that don't know, Glenn Danzig used to be in a great band called The Misfits, and then he went solo.
So...
he did a spoken word album. You ever heard that spoken word album?
Yes.
He's like, he's reading, like, Tolkien. Like,
it's really weird. He is a weird guy.
An idiot, man.
But... this comic book is a mature-themed comic book that he did in 1994. And
it's a fuck novel.
Yes. The comics are aimed towards adult readers as they often contain imagery of a sexual and or violent nature. He has signed... So, basically, Glenn Danzig is really into horror, such as, like, I think the better counterpart... Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, because he's really into horror too, as his Guar is. But Danzig doing this, I don't know what to think. I don't know.
It's not what has Danzig done
lately.
In the last 20 years, it's good.
I mean, I'm trying to remember what Danzig has done. I mean, I guess their last album was last year.
Have you ever seen him live?
No.
Dude, I saw him a couple of years ago. He was playing at Gilly's or... Oh, you know, over there by on the other side of downtown, south side on Lamar.
Yeah.
And he had this like super strict, like no cameras, no cell phone, no flash photography, right?
But why?
He's not into people like filming his shows. Like not really. That's great. It's like when Jack White came to town and they did that thing where they put your phone in that like kangaroo pouch thing.
I was there and I didn't have to put mine in a couch.
Okay, fucking hear that rule breaker, dude. You're banned from the Bomb Factory, Brian Kluger, no fly list.
Thank you.
Chronic rule breaker. Don't let him in. But no, he's just into you like, hey, pay attention. You're at a concert. You paid money. Pay attention. If go in the lobby if you want to get on your phone, right? Or go stand near the bar. Don't fucking impede, you know, other people's vision and good time because you want to get your fucking device out. But yeah, he stopped the show and like someone took a photo of him. He fucking stopped the music. Stop. Get this motherfucker out of here. And I was like, well, that's cool. But man, his band was horrible. Like imagine those like Zach Wilde harmonics, like those squealy.
Yeah.
In every Danzig song. And then a guy that like. It sounds like the guy that was playing guitar for him like maybe just learned how to do it like 3 days ago, so he was just overusing it. But it was bad, dude. His voice wasn't very good. And
so I'm always curious because his first 7 albums are titled Danzig, but Danzig 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 7.
Yeah.
Why in 2004 did they not go to Danzig 8, but to Circle of Snakes?
The circle is complete. Eight was the charm, you know. Okay. To me, Danzig is just either Sam Hain or the Misfits. Like solo Glenn Danzig, I'm not really my thing, man. It's like he tries to do the Elvis thing too much. Like in the Danzig stuff, you know, like in the Misfits, and in the Misfits he did it also, but it was a lot better. Like the music wasn't so kind of fucking like moody and you
I mean, like, he tries to model his music after, you know,
his image, dude. Yeah,
Presley, Morrison, yeah, and Howlin' Wolf, but I don't know. I don't know. Do you think he gets it?
No, absolutely not, man. I mean, he go see him live. You can't, it's cringy. Because like the way he, even the way he holds the microphone, it's just weird, man. He's a weird dude.
Yeah, no, he's like, I like an that awkward fella.
I love that video of him getting knocked out.
Did you know, speaking of Glenn Danzig, he was invited by 20th Century Fox to audition for the role of Wolverine in the first X-Men movie.
Yeah, that, God, I mean, imagine that. Good call with Hugh, though. Hugh Jackman fucking nailed that role, dude. I mean, I don't think anybody else could ever play that character.
No, no, not at all. I mean, they will because he's kind of out.
It's kind of like I watched The Dark Knight last night again.
Yeah.
And it's like Heath Ledger, dude. No one could ever do the Joker again. Like, that was the best Joker.
Well, there are different types of Jokers.
Yeah, but of the character, like, if you just took it straight from the comic book, right, and it had the backstory of, like, how his lips did get like that, because they were in the comic, it was his lips just weren't painted like that. He was cut, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the, I don't know, man. He's the best one, I think.
Well, he did a great job, and it was also probably the scariest Joker because you could say Jack Nicholson's Joker was more of a gangster type of guy.
Yeah, and that movie has that campy kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, you know? Well, yeah, but he had and in the TV show with Adam West, that was very cartoony. But Heath Ledger's was like just, he's anarchy. It was like, I just
he got it
to destroy it, to destroy it.
Well, because he didn't get the Joker like the goofy Joker. You know what I mean? Like, they think like clown. It's like It, right? Like, right. That's a serious clown. He's not fucking around.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think, what's his name in the latest, like, DC Universe? He won the Oscar for playing the trans woman.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Yes.
Caitlyn Jenner won an award for playing a transgendered athlete?
No, what's his name?
I don't know. Bruce. His name was
21 Jump Street guy, not
Mark Wahlberg.
Damn it, why am I blanking? I gotta look this up.
Internet.
Dallas Buyers Club guy.
Matthew McConaughey?
The other guy.
I don't even know.
Holy God, why am I not remembering this? And I know you're probably listening to me. Mickey, Jared Leto. Jared Leto's the Joker.
That guy has the worst band ever. No, I mean, up there. He might not be the worst, but definitely in the top 10 of
But he did play Joker. But it was like a sadistic, it was a really weird one. But now Joaquin Phoenix is going to play Joker.
Yeah, I mean.
And we'll see how that goes, because Joaquin is fucking amazing. But I can't wait
to see him. I'm surprised he agreed to do that. He must know something. No, I don't, man. After watching Heath Ledger do it, why would you want to do that?
Exactly.
Like,
it's hard to do it.
Yeah, it'd be like someone trying to do Andy Kaufman. You know, like, only Jim Carrey could have done that.
Jim Carrey, like, full-on method that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that documentary?
Yeah.
And
like, the director, Milos Forman, was like, please, can I just speak to Jim?
Yeah.
Like, can I not?
Well, Andy? I love when he did the Tony Clifton.
Oh, yeah. He would, yes.
Like, that was like, oh, hell yeah, dude.
And I felt so terrible for Jerry Lawler, because in that documentary, Lawler talks like how big of a dick Jim Carrey was to him, but Jim Carrey was like in the Andy Kaufman mode.
Yeah, he had to do it.
Lawler said, like, Andy Kaufman in real life, we and him and were friends with Jim, man. Like, Jim would like call him and his wife, Lawler and his wife, out for dinner, and then Jim would not show up.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with him. And I was like, holy shit, he really got too deep into that.
Yeah, well, dude, that's the brilliance of like Andy Kaufman, though, like, to orchestrate all that. And then, do you remember like the time, like, there was a guy that he goes, you know what? I know Andy Kaufman is Tony Clifton. And they double booked him. They had Andy Kaufman at one place, and then he was booked also as Tony Clifton at another place.
Right.
And then I can't remember who his friend was.
Bob Zamuda.
Okay. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
He went as Tony Clifton, and Andy, you know, went, and they both appeared simultaneously.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a great story.
So will Danzig ever do that?
God, I hope not. Dude. Glenn Danzig. What's his alter ego, though?
It'd be this horror.
No, that's him, though. He's Mr. Horror. Like, look at him. He's got the death spot.
Yes, but dude. He is, but he's not like Dee Snider or Odorous Ungus.
No, Odorous Arungus. What I'm saying, though, is like what Danzig's alternate ego, like Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton are 180.
No, yeah, they are.
So Danzig would have to be like a hippie. Like he'd be.
Or a hippie or like, you know, like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some pleasant fucking.
I swear to the guy.
Fucking his shoes are yellow.
Yeah.
Right? Like
his shoes are yellow.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Eat one of these gummy bears.
No, I'm good right now, man. You eat it.
Man, you fraidy cat. Dude, I'm ready for the sex, girls.
All right. Speaking of, our one-hit wonder. Are you ready for the sex, girls? The band is the Gleaming Spires. The song is Are You Ready for the Sex, Girls? This one-hit wonder. This is a new wave pop group from 1980s. They started in 1981 and went to 1985.
Good run.
Yes, they only had 4 albums within the span, one each year.
That's pretty consistent.
So, yes. Do you know anything about the Gleaming Spires?
I know there's two of them. I know it's a duo.
Yes, Leslie Bohem and David Kendrick.
They're French, right? Are they French?
I'm actually not sure. I'm actually looking.
They did. The only reason I know that is because a couple of years ago, actually, on Record Store Day, they reissued one of their albums. And
correct.
It's, which I don't know which one it is that has, you know, the Are You Sex Girls song on it. What's like the abbreviated version of that song? What can we refer to it as? Sex Girls?
Sex Girls.
Okay. Sex Girls.
So,
depending on when you tune into this.
Right.
Could.
Yeah. This
what
is
are
the
these, what are these guys that. Talking about?
But some of this band went on to join the band Devo.
Yeah, that I think I remember hearing or knowing something
which
like
is Dave
that.
David Kendrick. But following promotional materials by graphic artist Kevin J. Walker, who designed punk band covers for TSOL and Channel 3, the band was signed to Posh Boy Records on the strength of what had been intended by the group as a non-LP B-side, Are You Ready for the Sex Girls? Sex Girls became a hit on the radio station all across California, and it was later featured in the films The Last American Virgin and Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds! Where?
So, yeah.
That song is just a timeless fucking masterpiece.
So the album cover art for Gleaming Spires' Walk on Well-Lighted Streets was designed by artist Mark Kostabi, who later went on to design album covers for Guns N' Roses and the Ramones.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But yes, it became a hit. I don't think it never reached number one, but this was their song because Revenge of the Nerds was so popular and everybody loved, Are You Ready for the Sex?
That girls? I bet that movie, like, say that they hadn't used that song in that movie, I bet that helped launch it.
Oh, no, well, I mean,
like, had it not been in those two movies, because I don't remember exactly where it is in The Last American Virgin either.
I'm trying to remember, but...
But it makes sense it would be in that movie. I mean, even if you just read the fucking name. Like, Sex Girls, Last American Virgin? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the lyrics are crazy. Are you ready for the Sex Girls? The hot, hot, lean, hot, big, hot girls. Oh, are you ready for the Sex Girls?
It's the about
right, the... Right, right, ultra-vital, nice, nice girls.
Yeah, it's about the moves.
They play pool in your house, take off their own clothes. They can talk about love. They know where it goes. They are women without any faults. Are you ready for the pony girls, the fast ride pony girls?
Yeah, dude. I mean, these guys tell you exactly what the fuck's going on. And I can only hypothetically say this, but that song isn't exactly like offensive.
No.
So, I mean, I would think this should be a song that it's championing women.
Oh, no, I think
right?
so.
It's telling you, hey, you got one that's like a pony. You got another one here that's a little more, you know, plump. They love on all the ladies, dude. Women are great. Women are the most incredible thing on the planet, dude.
I agree.
That song, instead of being like, yo, bitch, bend over, grab your fucking toes.
Yeah.
some shit like that, right? This is like some goofball fucking 80s. Boop, boop, dee, doo, bah. It's like someone playing with a calculator
right.
and then reading these raunchy lyrics over it.
And it's like a happy-go-lucky, family-friendly song.
Look,
really.
Dude, this song makes you want to do two things. Roller skate or fuck.
Yeah. Why not both?
Yo, man. Sex on wheels.
But why do you think Gleaming Spires only had 4 albums?
Where do you go after that? Like, think of... I'd like to know what they thought their A side was, because you said Sex Girls.
That's what it said, yes.
Sex Girls was the B side. So if they thought that they had another song that was stronger than that, that's, I'm like, oh.
And it was a non LP B side, so it was just kind of like,
they weren't even going to include it.
Yeah.
Huh, weird. Because that's really the only song I know from them.
Because I guess the Gleaming Spire song All Night Party was also featured in Revenge of the Nerds, but I'm trying to remember how that song goes. But, yeah,
stream it, and then they won't get paid.
Yeah, there you go. But
see, if my program, 50 cents, you buy it, it's on that device, dude. And then you can access it anytime you want. You should always have to buy the song.
It's really, so Leslie,
buy the song, people. Stop stealing.
Oh my God, this is, to me, so Leslie Bohan, part of the Gleaming Spires, is actually now a screenwriter. He wrote, Les Boehm's writing credits include the miniseries Taken, Dante's Peak, Daylight, and The Alamo. He also wrote the storybook of the Steven Spielberg produced miniseries Nine Lives.
Hmm.
So he was the Gleaming Spires, but then went to be a Hollywood screenwriter.
He was ready for the script, girls.
So I wonder, like, if he's ever in a pitch room, they're like, dude, we're going to bring in, are you ready for the Sex Girls
guy? Hey, here comes that Sex Girls guy. Hey, are you the Sex Girls guy?
And do you think, like, at rap parties, do you think they're like, he's got to get up there and sing it?
What the fuck is a rap party? That's like the whitest shit I've ever heard.
No, not like a rap party for film. Like, we rap.
Oh, I don't know what. Oh, I didn't know what. Sorry. No, I'm the idiot.
What's a rap? A rap party, guys. Yeah. We're gonna rap.
We're gonna
songs.
Have, man. You guys want to come over to that rap gathering? I thought that's what it was. I was like, dude, what the fuck is a rap party?
I would just love to go to a rap party and Jacob dresses up like a gangster.
I'd come as
guy.
Fucking. I'd show
Vanilla
up.
Ice.
Nah, fuck no, dude. I'd be what's his name? The dude
Method
that
man.
Nah, what's the little midget guy that married Bridget Nielsen? Flavor Flav. Right?
Yes.
Like, who? Who's more iconic in the hip hop game than him? Visually.
Well, visually, Snoop has a look for sure.
That's it, dude.
But Flavor Flav, I mean, he wears like a wall clock.
Yeah,
as a necklace,
and he's got bling blong, dude. He's got those gold teeth, right? His gold teeth display. He's got a top hat, some fucking like clown glasses.
I would say notorious B.I.G.s.
Dude, yeah, but only a certain body type can pull that off, dude. Any body type could be Flavor Flav. Why is that goofball wearing a fucking clock around his neck?
I'll never forget one of the Comedy Central roasts. Jimmy Kimmel did a joke on the roast of Flavor Flav and told Flavor Flav he looks the way Magic Johnson ought to look.
Oh.
Which is a great joke when
Damn.
You think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that is fucking... Jimmy Kimmel did that?
Jimmy Kimmel did that.
And
joke.
Now he's Mr. like...
Talk show.
Well, no, but he's also like... Oh, don't objectify women, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you had girls jumping on trampolines.
Yeah,
you
know? It's a man show.
Yeah, like, but he, I don't know, he's kind of one of those people where, you know, he's like, kind of like championing, like getting behind an idea that he's not exactly perfect on.
Which is
You know,
fine.
He's kind of, he's like gone way off to the left, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, like, so.
Like, he's like Hollywood liberal dude.
20 years ago, people change over time. He's a family
no,
man
now. No, that's the thing right there, though. They don't, though, because who doesn't still want to see girls jump on trampolines?
Everybody does.
Okay, so there you go.
I will admit it. The people in, like.
That hasn't changed. Like, his mind has changed. I think, you know, I guess you have a kid, maybe it does, but it's like, dude, fucking, it's girls jumping on trampolines. I mean, what? Who doesn't like that?
Everybody likes that.
Put them in one pieces if you want. Whatever. Just, I mean, if you don't want them in bikinis, fine.
Just trampolines. Okay.
They could be wearing clothes for all I care. Just put them on there.
You just like trampolines, right?
No.
Don't like trampolines.
Conjoined twins jumping on trampolines.
Conjoined twins?
Yeah, that could get messy, right? Flopping all over
Ooh,
the place.
Yeah.
Depending Go left.
Where they're joined at.
The hip. Be like a bouncing H. Right?
Boing! The bouncing H.
Yeah, that's what it would look like.
That's good.
Think about it.
No.
At Radio Land.
I guess you could be a bouncing uppercase capitalized A if
See?
They like put their heads together.
Cue the Are You Ready for the Sex Girls with the girls jumping on trampoline.
There you go. It's a good
best
a good
music. Song. That's the recipe for the best music video ever. And you could have Danzig like talking over it.
Yes. But good God, no.
The ring fell into Glenn. The laundry detergent.
All right. On to our main event. A band called Black Sabbath. English rock band formed in Birmingham in 1968 by guitarist and main songwriter who?
Well, the main songwriter is Geezer Butler. But
well, I thought it was Tommy.
Tony Iommi?
Yes.
Geezer wrote a lot of the music.
Well, yes. The main guy who, the lyricist was Geezer Butler.
Geezer.
Drummer Bill Ward and singer, of course, Ozzy Osbourne, who...
Mr. fucking
who
Ozzy.
Really, if you... I wonder if people who really knew Ozzy back in Black Sabbath 1968, 69 would have seen what he went to. You know, with like MTV in his household. I wonder what...
He didn't know that they were in there, dude.
No, he hasn't known a lot of
yeah.
things for
I
a
mean,
long
do you
time.
Think Ozzy was really concerned with the film crew that was in his house?
No.
He was drunk. He was...
And it was a film house. It wasn't like their actual house.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like one of their houses. And it was like...
It's like their production house.
Right. Like yeah. They actually did own it, though.
It might have. I know it was down the street from the Playboy Mansion, but...
dude, Ozzy Black, fucking rules, dude.
He pissed on
the Alamo.
Yeah, so Black Sabbath might have been the grandfather, the godfather of heavy metal music. You know, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Master of Reality. It's just, it's insane what they came up with. And they named themselves after a horror movie starring Boris Karloff called Black Sabbath. I have it. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. But their debut album, Black Sabbath, was released on Friday the 13th in 1970, which is all sorts of cool.
Yeah, and it's like the fucking creepiest album cover.
Yeah, it's basically like this old like house where you do not want to venture into.
It's
and there's
Texas
just, like,
Chainsaw Massacre house.
It really looks like it. It's like this fall foliage. Everything's dying and decaying. And there's just like this weird witch, maybe Ozzy Osbourne looking... thing in the front, and it's just staring
well,
at you.
Then there's like on the back, there's this crow in the tree that like
yeah.
people don't see. This is a great album, man. Like, this is Ozzy, like, hit the nail on the head. Like, they were interviewing him one time, and he's like, you know, the only reason that like we like Black Sabbath was able to happen is because of post World War II, like England. And you think of the factor end of like, okay, this place has got fucking destroyed through a war,
yeah.
it's in a rebuilding process. Everyone is poor. There's like a huge fucking recession going on, and these guys are living in this dreary fucking rainy town where there's just, you know, in poverty. It's poverty stricken, right?
Yeah.
So the only sound that they knew was like that dark kind of abysmal, like fucking spooky sound.
Right.
So like when this album starts, right, like that fucking the rain starting and then the bell.
Yeah.
Bing! And then that fucking riff just hits you, dude. Those are just individual notes too. Like these guys were heavy without like having to tune down and like do a lot of stuff where nowadays like bands are like, oh, we got to tune down to this tune low and then we'll be heavy. Dude, Sabbath was heavy is like a fucking, like kind of a state of mind. Like you have to kind of, once you're there mentally, then you're able to like pull that music off. Just tuning down and like, you know, making your guitar sound thicker than it actually is. That's not heavy, dude. These guys were fucking, I mean, what do you say about them? Like this was fucking the height of like hippiedom, right?
Well,
free love and fucking.
Well, Black Sabbath, I mean, if you frame of reference, 1969 was Woodstock. So Black
yeah.
Sabbath was before then.
A year. No, this. Yeah. But this album came out a year later. So like most people did like, Tony Iommi played in Jethro Tull for a little bit, like
right.
before like Sabbath
yeah.
started, but nothing like this had happened before. Like, and you had some even early bands, you know, like Pentagram, you know, and there were some other bands that were around doing this, but
nothing
this
mainstream like
dude,
this, or nothing as
well. No, nothing this well executed, because you had the combination of like fucking Bill Ward playing those like primitive drums, like they almost sound like African, like tribal beats, and they're just blasting like the whole fucking time. They're heavy as hell, like a caveman with a fucking stick beating down on this drum.
Yeah.
And then you got fucking Geezer flying on the bass, like great technique, and the lyricist and the music writer. Like, Geezer wrote probably 80% of the Sabbath stuff. But then you get to give it to a guy like Tony Iommi, who is like the king of heavy. Lost three of the tips of his fingers in like a saw accident, like he was putting some wood or cutting some metal at a machine shop he worked at, and he slid his fucking hand under the razor blade, and it knocked three of his fingertips off. So he plays with these like rubber thimble fingertips.
Yeah.
You ever notice that?
I have never noticed that.
Google him and look on his fretting hand on his... He plays left-handed, so on his right hand, he's missing his fingertips. But that by that accident happening to him is how he was able to come up with the sound that would be Black Sabbath. Because then when he did that, when that happened to him, he had to kind of relearn to play guitar again. You kind of still play the same way, but now you're kind of limited in what you could do because you're missing three of your fingertips, and you got to use these add-on things. So that changes style. And then you fucking go, okay, cool. You got Ozzy fucking Osbourne as your lead singer, dude.
Which is probably one of the better frontmans.
Rock and roll, dude. He's the guy, man. Like, he figured out a great, like, he had a great aura. Like, he kind of was like this hippie kind of looking dude, but he was also like, he's going to urinate himself live and like do anything. He could fucking, you never know with this guy.
Why do you think he did all of that?
He was fucked up, dude.
Like acid and
all of it.
All of it.
Yeah, man. Why not? He's untouchable. Like, he even knew, he probably knew it at that age, like that very young age, that he somehow had the rock gene that people don't get, like Keith Richards, right?
Yeah.
He knew he's almost indestructible. But Ozzy kind of is kind of the exception to the rule, because he's never kind of like willingly tried to get sober, I don't think. It's usually forced upon him, but then he's like cheating his way through it. Like, fine, I won't fucking do no coke no more. But like, he's still getting fucking boozed up and shit.
Right.
But that guy's rock and roll, man. Like, that's Ozzy. If Ozzy was any other way, or if
it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate to say something about like that about a person like that, but some people are just the real deal. Like, and that's what he is, man.
I agree with that.
He's a fucking rock. He's a rocker, dude.
Rolling Stones ranked Black Sabbath number 85 in their 100 greatest artists of all time. They have sold over 70 million records worldwide, which is quite a bit. And they've been inducted into the UK Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've won 2 Grammys.
Yeah, they had Dio sing it when they booted Ozzy out, and then they got Ronnie James Dio to sing, and then changed their name to Heaven and Hell briefly in like the early 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the Ozzy studio albums, I mean, fucking Volume 4, dude. Like, have you ever listened to that album?
Yes.
That's the if you were gonna pick Sabbath's like heaviest record, either that or Master of Reality, like those are the heaviest ones. But I really love Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. That's my favorite Sabbath album.
That was in 1973.
And that one is,
and that's their fifth album.
Yeah, that one is fucking real heavy. I mean, Slash is like saying that album, like the first song on that album at the end.
Well, Iommi used like the sitar and bagpipes in that album.
Yeah, they started to do a lot of other shit. Then they had Rick Wakeman play with them for a little bit from, you know, Yes.
Yes. You know who did the cover art to that album? Drew Struzan, who done tons of horror movie movie posters.
Well, dude, and that's the thing with Sabbath. And, like, other than the Black Sabbath Paranoid album cover.
Star Wars films, yeah.
Which the Black Sabbath Paranoid is, like, the worst album cover ever.
Which one?
Paranoid.
Yes.
It's got the cop on the front of it.
Yes.
Like, holding a sword. Like, a plastic sword. You're like, oh, fuck. But, yeah, other than that, man, all those other album covers, they look like horror movie covers.
Like,
look at that.
Right.
This is Sabotage. This is, I think, Rick Wakeman's on this one.
Yeah.
You've gone. What are you doing, dude?
You've gone rogue. You've gone rogue.
Yeah, man. Dead air. We're gonna get banned.
No, we're not. I know. I'm waiting for you here to see who's on this.
It doesn't say. I'm pretty sure he's on it though.
So, what do you think about We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll?
Fucking, it's a best of, dude. This is like a greatest hits album.
True, but I think
this would be the good Black Sabbath like Get Your Feet Wet album. Okay. Like this is like here. This is a good introduction to it because it's chronological somewhat.
It's their first greatest hits, basically, but it's like also one of their most popular ones.
Yeah, well, because it's all the hits, dude. Like Paranoid, War Pigs, Iron Man, like bam, bam, bam. I love Fairies Wear Boots. That song's about skinheads.
Is it really?
Yeah. Because they fuck. I mean, they couldn't say skinheads wear boots. They called skinheads fairies. And then look it up.
There you go.
And then Sweet Leaf. I don't know what that song's about.
Which one?
Sweet Leaf. Or Snowblind.
So
Not too sure what that one's about either.
When talking about Black Sabbath, we have to mention the late Ronnie James Dio.
Not me, man. That ain't Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath.
What are you talking about? Because Dio has a great voice, but he's more theatrical rock and not as crazy, I think, as Ozzy.
Here's where I'm at. No Ozzy Osbourne, no Black Sabbath.
Has there been another band where like Ozzy or like the main guy left and then came back?
Yeah, that happens a lot. It happened in Black Sabbath.
That's what I'm saying, like, besides Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah, it's happened a ton.
So there's been other bands where, like Ozzy did. He did this band, then he went away for a while, and then he came back to the band.
Yeah, like, I think even Skid Row kind of did it at one point.
Really?
That's not an uncommon thing. Fill-ins and whatnot, like, you hit a rough patch.
With fill-ins, but, like, Dio was like big
part. Well, they changed, but okay, so when Dio came into the band, Bill Ward also left.
Okay.
So then they got
Deep Purple frontman Ian Gillan.
Vinny Appice, I think, played drums, and then they changed the name to Heaven and Hell.
Okay.
So they did, I think, one album as Black Sabbath with Dio. Then they went from Black Sabbath to Heaven and Hell.
Okay.
And they did a couple of records.
I thought Dio had a much bigger career with Black Sabbath.
He did, but they called it Heaven and Hell.
Okay.
But he also then after Bowie after Dio, they had I think two other singers before Ozzy came back.
Okay, Heaven and Hell, I see that. But that was later on though.
Yeah, no. So look up look up how many albums Black Sabbath did and then look how many they did with Dio.
Okay.
I think they only did one with Dio.
So Black Sabbath with Dio was Heaven and Hell, Black and Blue, which is the heavy metal, the movie, Mob Rules, Live Evil, Dehumanizer, and then live albums.
Yeah, so two albums then. Two studio albums.
Okay, there you go. But he was with them for a while.
Yeah, he was with them for a while. But he can't do these songs, though. Like, these are Ozzy songs.
They are Ozzy songs, but he also, I mean, can you compare him to the AC/DC thing with
No, because it's too, dude, Ozzy can't sing. Ozzy couldn't go out there and sing, like, the national anthem.
True. Like, Dio could.
Yeah, because he's got that, like, Ozzy is a great voice in the context of a band.
Well, in a context of this particular, like a heavy metal
band. Even his solo stuff. Like, Ozzy's voice just doesn't work on its own.
Okay.
Like, he couldn't go out and sing a cappella.
Okay.
He doesn't have that voice. But Dio does. It's that falsetto-y, you know, symphonic orchestral sounding vocal, you know, like almost like Pavarotti.
Right.
Like, big, boomy fucking...
Yeah, I think he's very theatrical.
Ozzy's vibe, dude. Like, Ozzy...
But Ozzy, yeah, commands the stage, though. Like, who else eats birds' heads off and drinks blood and...
Dude, throws water onto the crowd and is, you know, soaking wet. He performs... So Ozzy's the real deal, dude. Like, he's in that group of real rockers, man. Like, not people that are just pretending to do it and like playing dress up, dude. Ozzie couldn't do anything else. Like, you think Ozzie mows the yard? No. He just got a license like within the last couple of years, and then they took it away from him. He had never had a license.
Well, because
who would give him one?
Well, who would give him one? A, but then like most of his life since he was a teenager, probably like it's kind of like Michael Jackson probably never really learned to drive because he's always had drivers.
The point is Ozzie doesn't need to be behind the wheel of a vehicle.
True.
Like, let's just call that what it is.
That's he's always on something.
It's a bad idea. He shouldn't have to drive. is the nice way of saying is, dude, think about it. If you were driving down the road and you were sitting at a red light and then you looked up in your rearview mirror and Ozzy Osbourne was behind you in a car, right? Just looking how he does. I'd get off the road. Right. I'd get the fuck out of the way before he plows over you or into you.
Yeah, no, I would...
Pissed on the Alamo, dude. I mean, what's more rock and roll than that? Name a more rock and roll moment than pissing on the fucking Alamo.
What else has he done? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, he used to, you know, go out in, like, dresses in the stage and on stage and fucking do all kinds of wild shit, man. I'm pretty sure he probably urinated on stage. You know, he threw that fucking... He bit the head off of that bird.
The bat or whatever?
Yeah, bit the head off of a bat. He did it also in the, you know, when Sharon was trying to get him signed solo, you know, to do his solo career. They went and met some, you know, A&R fucking suit dude. And, you know, I'm Sharon Osbourne. This is Ozzy. He's fuck, you know, he's got solo career. And then there was like some birds in the room or something. Ozzy thought it was like some fucking plastic bird or something. Like a prop.
And he created Ozfest.
Well, that I think Sharon created Ozfest.
Okay.
Ozzy's not a creator, man. Like Ozzy is a guy where if you give him great songs and lyrics, he'll nail it. But if you like, I don't really think Ozzy. If you're looking for Ozzy as like the creative force in the band, no, until he can utilize his vocal. So if you kind of write music around his vocal, what you know he can do vocally, he'll fucking hit a home run every time, dude. Because his voice is an instrument. He has that really weird register he fucking sings in, and he's like, he uses a really cool effect on it when you listen real close to Ozzy's lyric or vocals. Yeah. There's this chorus. There's like a chorus effect on it, and like a. There's like a decibel boost kind of thing that kind of makes it like, not an AM radio, but it kind of gives it like a bright edge.
Yeah.
It's just a great production, man. Like whoever the people are that, you know, work with him in all of his studio albums have always sounded great. Like the Randy Rhoads stuff, you know, Zakk Wylde, all that shit. But in Sabbath, you got Geezer writing all the lyrics and the music. So like all the lyrics are, they're perfect.
They are good. I'm actually reading some of this right now. I'll read it to you as we were talking about like his crazy antics. In 1981, after signing his first solo career record deal, Osbourne bit the head off a dove during a meeting with CBS Records executives.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had planned to release doves into the air as a sign of peace, but due to being intoxicated at the time, he instead grabbed a dove and bit its head off. He then spat the head out with blood still dripping from his lips.
He snorted ants with Nikki Sixx. Yes. I mean,
on January 20th, 1982, Osbourne bit the head off a bat he thought was rubber while performing in Des Moines, Iowa. He thought it was a fake one, but it was a real one.
He had to get rabies shots for like months after that.
Yeah. Osbourne was treated for rabies. Let's see here. In 1984, California teenager John McCollum committed suicide while listening to Osbourne's Suicide Solution.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I agree.
Black Sabbath, though, dude. What's your favorite Black Sabbath album?
My favorite Black Sabbath album?
Your favorite Black Sabbath album.
Their first one, and We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll.
This doesn't count. You can't count a greatest hits as an album.
Why?
Because it's not... It's a compilation.
Is it?
Yeah. What kind of fucking question is that? You know it is. That's goofy.
All right. Well, the first one, because The Wizard and Behind the Wall of Sleep.
Fucking NIB, dude. That's geezer workout right there.
It's good stuff. But yeah, it's I mean, I think they've always had good songs, but, you know, there's just always something about that first album that's always good. You know, like, I mean, what's wrong with greatest hits albums?
Yeah, it's like a cop-out answer. You're kind of getting a sidestep the question a little bit.
Okay. Well, first one. Black Sabbath, and they're still, like, around today. Like, they just I thought they were. They just toured recently.
Yeah, that was their last tour. I went.
Their last.
I'll show you this photo on my phone, dude. Check this out.
I went with my buddy Rob,
and we got second row seats.
I'm looking.
I got this great photo, dude. You're gonna love this.
In the masses. Oh my God, y'all were really up close, and Ozzy. Oh my God,
that's
yes.
Geezer. But look, here are the pictures I took. This is from our seats.
Wow, you were super close.
Yeah.
What row was that?
Second row. There's Jesus. Ozzy.
Is he still like with it?
He
like,
was great, dude. They were fucking phenomenal, man. Like, I had seen him before, and my buddy, he was like, "Man, I was thinking about getting these tickets. I've never seen him before." And I said, "Well, yeah, you should definitely go because this more than likely will be the last time, because I don't think Tony Iommi can do it anymore." And he had just kind of come out
Why
of this
not?
Like
Why
sec-
don't you think he will?
He's come out of this second battle with cancer.
Yeah.
And he's overcome it again, but he's all there, you know, fuck, they're 70 years old.
Okay. So on March 7th, 2017, Black Sabbath announced that they had disbanded, on their social media accounts, whatever. However, in an April 2017 interview, Butler revealed that Black Sabbath considered making a blues album. And then just as recently as 2 months ago, Osbourne stated that he wants to reunite Black Sabbath in 2022 for a performance at the Commonwealth Games.
Okay, well that...
And Iommi added, "I think that would be a great thing to do to help represent Birmingham." He's up for it.
That's one show, though. They did a farewell tour.
So a farewell tour, however... If they get super insanely, everybody loves them, they're going to go out again.
Nah, they won't.
Why do you say no?
They just want
nothing. People do that all the time.
They won't do it. Because, A, Bill Ward ain't even in the band anymore. Like, they had this guy named Tommy Silfuitos playing drums with them. So it's really not even Black Sabbath, which I thought was kind of shitty because they're doing their Black Sabbath farewell show tour. You know, the Black Sabbath
right.
farewell tour.
Yeah.
And then... They didn't even have the original drummer, Bill Ward, who's still alive and can play. So there's like some sort of contractual dispute that happened amongst them. They offered him an amount of money that he didn't agree to. Like they were kind of wanting to pay him as like a hired gun, right?
Right.
Like he wasn't even a member of the band type thing.
Right.
So he wasn't getting an even split that everyone else was getting. He was getting a smaller, his hair pie was slightly smaller.
No, it's slightly smaller. So,
and he should get paid the same. They should all get paid exactly the fucking same.
So it's interesting because if they do actually do this, which would be in 4 years, all these guys right now, as of right now,
they're in their
69 or 70 years old. So they'd be pushing 75, which, I mean, you saw them a year or so ago. They still, I mean.
I saw Sabbath like 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
I saw them on the first Ozfest.
Okay.
And then I saw them three times between that and then the most recent one.
So the most recent one, they're still late 60s.
Yeah.
Are they still rocking out, or can you tell, like, they need to put it up?
Man, Ozzy is the only one where he's kind of sketchy, but they also, they play the songs, like, they're, let's just use Paranoid for an example, right?
Okay.
They don't quite play it to that speed.
Okay.
So they kind of pull the BPMs down, beats per minute down a hair. So it doesn't have that like that quick pace kind of thing to it. But yeah, dude, they sound fucking good, but they should have got Bill Ward involved, man, with the, you know, the drummer.
Yeah.
If it was indeed going to be their last tour, which I hope it is.
You'd see him again if they did.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't see him again because I'd be like, oh, that's shitty. You said it was your last one. Unless they do a farewell tour with Bill Ward playing drums.
Then you would go see him?
Yeah, then I would go. it's different.
It all hinges on Bill Ward coming to town. We'll see.
You need him, man. It's all four of them, dude. That's Black Sabbath. not Dio and fucking...
But Dio's dead.
Yeah, he still tours, though.
Who still tours?
Dio.
We talk... Well, hologram. His band?
They have a he performs as a hologram.
Which makes sense, because he's the theatrical...
With a live band.
I like Dio, but...
He isn't Black Sabbath, though.
True. Ozzy Osbourne is.
Yes.
I agree with you.
They should burn all the Dio Black Sabbath albums.
Some people would not like that.
Doesn't matter. Who cares what they think? It's not Black Sabbath. Like, it's just, you couldn't get Jeff Beck to play the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
So do you think Black Sabbath ever, like we talk about this usually, like, you know, in the 80s or whatever, do you think Black Sabbath ever went an 80s route?
Yes, they did. They fucking totally did. They had lineups where, like, they're wearing spandex and fucking... Ozzy was out. Ozzy was doing the solo shit, but he was also wearing spandex.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Black Sabbath hit a
Heaven
fucking...
Heaven and Hell, Mob Rules, Born Again, Seventh Star.
Just look at photos of him from that era. Type in Black Sabbath.
Yeah, just one guy with like a leather jacket on.
That's Tony Iommi. But no, I'm saying just type in like Black Sabbath 1984 and look at photos of him. And then that what they look like is exactly what their music sounds like. It's very synth heavy. Like, it's weird, man.
Okay, so yeah.
And I think they had like Ian Gillan from Deep Purple was singing with them in this period.
That's true. Yes, that I did. I was reading that, and so you think their sound changed?
I know it changed.
Okay.
Like I like some of that stuff, but again, it's Ozzy is Black Sabbath. Like, if it's not Ozzy singing, it's why are you doing the songs?
Yeah, they all have the big hair, mullets, and even like a bunch of leather pants.
Oh, yeah, a lot of leather, dude. Fucking hell bent for leather. Do some Priest, dude.
But yeah, they've been around forever, and they you know, still pretty much playing. And
man, think of it this way, right? This album came out Friday, the very first Black Sabbath album came out Friday the 13th, 1970.
Yeah.
So think about, like, people that ran out, had maybe heard about this band, and were like, man, this fucking spooky-looking album cover, I'm going to put, what does this sound like? And then you drop the fucking needle, right? And then there's that rain sound, and then that riff starts, man. And then from there on, this album is just fucking gold. Every album after that, same thing, man. There's, like, this weird kind of haunting, like, weird, there's a weird production on it. It just sound, they sound like nothing else. And they came out at a time again where it's a lot of things are like peace and love and Simon and Garfunkel and, you know, all that stuff's great. But these guys were from a different school. You know, it was like people hearing the Stooges for the first time.
Yeah, because in 1970, it was all about Simon and Garfunkel, the Carpenters.
Yeah, Cat Stevens,
yes,
that kind of stuff. And again.
Yeah, but definitely nothing like.
No, these guys came and fucking, I mean, they were there to destroy. But the unfortunate thing, though, is they never kind of, in the early stages, like, carried over into being a great live band because Ozzy was so fucked up.
Right.
And then a lot of the sounds that they were getting, like the tones that are on this first record, you go out live and, you know, you're very limited in 1970 still on PA equipment and, you know, effects pedals and trying to, you know, re-emulate things you did on an album.
Right.
They're not, Sabbath is not exactly the greatest musicians, but they're four people that together created something totally original and unique. But yeah, depending on what level of high or fucked up they were, I mean, they either played great or it was just, these guys suck. My dad said he saw him one time with like Edgar Winter's White Trash, War, and like Black Sabbath.
Holy shit.
And he said, well, Black Sabbath played last, but you think of following those two bands who are just, everybody in those bands are very skilled musicians.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Sabbath gets up there and it's almost kind of like amateur hour, and Ozzy was all fucked up and it was just, so the train never got on the tracks is what my dad said. They just never got going.
So you went to the first Ozfest?
Yeah, which was, I think, in 2002?
No, first Ozfest.
90-something. Yeah, there's no way I went to the first one then.
So you didn't...
I had to go in, like, 2002. I thought it started later than that.
I'm looking it up in 2002. to see what you who you saw, perhaps. 2002.
It was Black Sabbath, like Rob Zombie, I think System of a Down.
United States, which would be Ozzy Osbourne, System of a Down, Rob Zombie, POD, Drowning Pool.
That was
which was canceled because of the lead singer's death.
Dave. Well, look up the year. You look up the year after that, because when I saw him,
2003,
the Ozfest I went to, Sabbath was the headliner, not Ozzy.
2003. Let's see. Ozzy Osbourne, Korn, okay, Marilyn Manson, Disturbed, Chevelle.
It's not that one either.
So you saw them. Okay, so Ozfest 2004, main stage, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Slayer, Superjoint, Ritual, and Black Label Society.
Which, yeah, Zakk Wylde. I remember Zakk Wylde played there.
And Slipknot, Hatebreed, Lamb of God, Atreyu. Yeah, there you go. So you went to that one.
Yeah, I went to that one, because that was at Starplex.
But the first one in 1997...
Yeah, I don't... Man, that has been around longer than I
thought. Ozzy Osbourne, Slayer, Danzig.
Ooh!
Power Man 5000.
Oh, shit.
That was 96. And then 97 was Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Marilyn Manson, Pantera, Machine Head, Power Man 5000...
Power Man 5000. That's the B version of White Zombie right there.
There you go.
There it go.
But they're all kind of like the same, like almost kind of the same lineup every year. I'm seeing, like, you know, they added their Foo Fighters, Megadeth, Limp Bizkit even went to one of them. Motorhead.
I bet ICP performed at one.
I don't know.
You would know. You're the fan, dude.
Hey, I did not.
Hey, Brian, what would you say if I went... Whoop, whoop.
Juggalo.
I want to go to that. The Gathering of the Hoogalos.
Oh, my God.
Gene Hoagland.
Black Sabbath is good stuff. Get their albums if you can.
Yeah, they were all right.
They were all right. But that's...
Oy vey.
Ozzy heard that and willed that microphone to almost fall.
No, that wouldn't do. That was Sharon.
But yeah, Ozzy Osbourne, Ozfest, Black Sabbath, The Gleaming Spires. That is the Unbalanced Note number 5. Jacob, where can they find you?
Instagram, that's it. And you don't even have to worry about finding me there.
Scrum True Lessons.
Scrum True Lessons. And I will do so neither.
And I'm Brian Kluger, HighDefDigest.com, BoomstickComics.com. Look us up on Boomstick, iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, Multimedia Men Podcast Network. Please, please. Tonight we are going to see ELO, Jeff Lynne, and we will be back later on this week with a double secret probation episode about ELO. We love you very much. Thanks for listening.